This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Today, though, we're going to take a look at the preceding gospel passage, which was the gospel according to St. John, chapter 6, verses 22 through 35. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into the boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom you sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the man in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." This is our scripture passage for today, and may God add his blessing to this other reading of his word. Now, over the past 14 years or so, we've heard a lot about whether or not something is sustainable. It's sustainable growth, sustainable development, sustainable ecosystems, sustainable energy, you name it. Well, let's talk about something that really ought to be sustainable, and that's our spiritual growth and maturity. And it comes down in the first place to what we learned now 2 weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago, we saw that we need to walk in faith and not by sight. Sometimes we have to go past what we think we know and add Jesus into the equation. Why? Well, because in some of the preceding passages, we saw that the result of what can be when we look to Jesus in faith. He's more than able to provide for us. We give him what we have, and he can multiply it. This week, however, we see that Jesus says some really spiritually deep, challenging, and possibly even somewhat confusing, mysterious things. The depth of meaning is that he's challenging us to a deeper walk with him. This week's passage, or this week's gospel reading for the sermon, begins in Capernaum. Remember that Capernaum was something like Jesus' headquarters, or home base, if you will. The people there knew Jesus, and it was also reasonable for them to be looking for him to return after one of his ministry sojourns. Well, it's in Capernaum that the crowds caught up with Jesus on his return from feeding all those people. So Jesus had just fed many thousands of people, and the crowds are looking for him. Why were they looking for him? What did they want? It's possible, rather, it's fairly likely that they wanted more from Jesus, just more. The problem is that what they wanted wasn't what Jesus knew that they needed. How many of us are able to figure out that many times what we want and what we actually need may be two distinctly different things. Everybody aware of that? Okay. Now, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." His feeding miracle was one of, ironically enough, the seven signs around which John organized his gospel. However, what Jesus means here is that they didn't want Jesus because they understood the meaning of the signs. They were interested in seeing more wonders because of how amazing the miracles happened to be. In other words, they wanted him to put on another show, and they wanted to have the grub to show for it. Now, to put it bluntly, they weren't really interested in salvation or what Jesus actually came to bring them. They just wanted the stuff. Does that make sense? Now, it's obviously important that we have our physical needs met. I mean, you can't go hungry for very long, and the Lord promises to meet those needs. Here, however, is the distinction. If we're chasing Jesus only for that reason, to get our physical needs met, we're not seeking Jesus for the right reason. This is what Jesus meant when he told the people, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has set his seal on him." What we need to understand here is that when Jesus says not to labor for the food that perishes, he's not telling us not to work for a living. He's not even downplaying our need to have food and water and clothing and shelter. When he speaks of the labor in this verse, he's pointing to our ultimate focus. Our higher purpose is to seek after those things that lead us to eternal life in heaven with him. He adds that when we put our heart in focus and aim for the things that will lead us to him, he will give us those things. He adds that the Father has ordained that this higher focus is where we need to be headed. And in the process, we'll get our physical needs met. Then the people show that they may have an inkling of what Jesus means by their question, "Well, what shall we do that we may work the works of God?" This doesn't quite mean they've completely gotten on board with Jesus' program, but that they may be catching on to where Jesus was headed with this discussion. So they ask, "Well, what do we do then?" John tells us what happened next. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." It's not work per se, as we know the term. He says that what has to happen is that we turn our hearts towards him. We focus on Jesus and put our trust in him and him alone for our salvation. We need to believe in Jesus in such a way that our hearts, attitudes, actions, and life direction and sense of purpose change for the better and for that higher purpose. Okay? So that faith, that belief is also a gift from the Lord. So we act on his gift and believe. Well, even though it sounded like they might have been catching on, their response to this shows that they were still looking for a show. Now, what did they say after that? They said, "Therefore," they said to him, John wrote, "what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the man in the desert. It is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So do you see that? They're still looking for a sign. In other words, they're still looking for the big light show. And they're not really looking for Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they asked Jesus to give them that bread, the bread of God. Jesus, as we can see in this passage, did not give in to their demand for literal bread. The bread in this life is the stuff that gets moldy after a few days. If you ever bought some organic bread and put it on your counter and could almost use a stopwatch to time when the first signs of mold show up. Well, that's the bread of this life. Jesus is asking us to look for him. You see, that bread may be good for a turkey sandwich, and it only meets a temporary need. But the true bread that he's talking about is the one that gives us eternal life in heaven, to feed on that. As such, Jesus says two important things here. He corrects their inaccurate knowledge of who gave their forefathers the bread. This is important because most likely they thought Jesus was like another Moses, the servant of the Lord who God used for amazing signs and things. For them, it wasn't the Egyptians from whom they needed deliverance. For them, these people, it's the Romans. But again, Jesus' focus is on the Father in heaven, giving them what they really need. Then Jesus gives them that most profound and deeply troubling and hard to understand answer he could have probably given them. I am the bread of life. Their real need, you see, was for salvation and a relationship with him. Their real need was to learn to live their lives with him in their center. This is what he means when he says that the Father gave them the true bread. The Father gave them him. In other words, Jesus is this gift from the Father. He is the true bread. He is the one who truly satisfies. He is the one who gives real life. He provides the only thing that will truly satisfy all of our deeper needs. Himself. And that's the way it is. It's bad if we think that's, well, that sounds too simple. Or is it really that? Yes, it is. He is the one who can satisfy that deeper need we have. Because our deepest need is for real life, real significance, real truth, real purpose. And he is the only one who can provide those things. No one else can. You go buy something from the store, you bring it home, and that anticipation that you had about getting it, how long does it take for that to wear off? Maybe if you're really stuck on the stuff, it might take a couple of weeks. But that new wears off really quickly. Jesus is the only one who can sustain us completely and meet every need we have in this life and in the next. And if we put him first in this life, our physical needs will be taken care of. Jesus made that abundantly clear any number of times, time and again. So today, and here's the challenge, when we come forward for the body and blood, the bread and the wine, let's know that Jesus is the bread of life, the one who makes this life and the one after truly sustainable. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.